Welcome back to the second hour of Love Babble Love Talk. I'm delighted this morning because I got the boys in the house, Stick Bones and the Bone Squad. Hey Bob, hey Ed Tankus, hey Sticks. How y'all doing? Welcome back. Unmute yourselves.
Good morning, Babs. How my girl doing? Holding us
Oh yeah.
down.
I hear y'all just putting out music, y'all coming back. You got 2 dates here. I'm like, what is going on?
Well, Babs, first of all, you have such a big influence on us. We had to come back. We had to come back strong.
I'm so glad y'all got 2 nights. I saw the brother that owns Jazzy's yesterday at the poet inauguration. And he's like, yeah, they're coming back for two days. I was like, okay, that sounds good. He was all excited. How y'all doing?
But I'm doing good, you know. This is Bob. I'm gonna have the opportunity to hang out in New Haven and meet some of the community people, you know, besides playing, you know. But you know, I'm always interested in how things work in town, you know. So I'm glad to have this opportunity, not only to play, but also to greet and to show off our brilliance in music.
Oh, I'm so glad. So Ed Tankus, are they going to a couple of schools? Are they going to the neighborhood music school? Or not this trip? We got a lot of performing schools here, so they would love to have them come.
Yeah, we didn't have anything planned for this trip specifically. We're certainly open if somebody wants to reach out to us and talk about that. If there's time in the schedule, sure. You know, I mean, the guys would certainly be available and want to talk to folks, especially young kids, young musicians. It's always good to have, you know, mentors in the field. You know, we're looking at trying to do something this fall at a university down in North Carolina, a master class with their students on one night and then a performance the next night. You know, so that's always in the offing. It's always in the cards if they can, you know, put it all together and get it in the schedule.
Mm-hmm. So what's the tour been like? Are you all on tour? Are you kind of on tour, or you go where you go?
I mean, we've been really just working the record, you know, to get it. And it took us to international stations now. So we spent the last 2 months heavily just letting people know that, you know, we have some great sounds for y'all to add to your playlist. Put us while you're driving, while you're cooking at home, when you're hanging out with family and friends. We've really been pushing the record at this time because we wanted, whenever they do come to the show, we didn't want them to come like questioning what they was going to get. We wanted them to know that this music was real. And like any other artist, you know, that, like, for example, Justin Timberlake, he doesn't start until June, and his record came out in February. So it just takes that little bit of leeway to work the record in order.
Yeah, but you gotta tell them, Sticks, man, you know, how popular the album is, man. I mean, you're all over the United States.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what we're doing. I'm on the soapbox. I'm outside like, hey, Olympic Soul is here. You need to put it on.
Yes.
Have you, you know, you have to tell them, you know, that in quite a few states you've reached number one in some, and top 10 and 50s and all that kind of stuff, man.
We've been making strides. We've been making strides thanks to New World Jazz, Neil Sapper and his team. We've been making some serious strides. And like I said, we debuted in London on last week.
Oh, wow. And so Are people in London, are they digging it?
They did. From what I understand, they digging it. They digging it in Europe, man. So, we're working on getting over. We got a couple of people saying, I can't wait to see you guys over here. So we're grateful for that.
All right. I love it. So Ed Tankus, that means your work is cut out for you to sort of help push this record.
Well, just hanging with these guys, my work is cut out for me. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, which way is up 90% of the time? Yeah, we're trying to do some things. I mean, we had a conversation with a lady who has some inroads into a festival down in Alabama, and I think Stixy owed me an email on that one too, for so we can make that connection. Some other things that we have coming up, like Six says, this is kind of a time where we're just, you know, working the music, working the record, trying to get out there. We've got another date coming up in May up in Peekskill, New York, at the Bean Runner Cafe. It's a small place, but folks like, you know, Bob Baldwin have played there. And it's got a very eclectic scene, but it's got a very loyal audience as well. So, you know, we're trying to do the ground game and make sure that we get traction, not only with the record, but with the guys and music and performing live. I think that's really important, and just continue to build and ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
And the game has kind of changed a little bit, Babs. It's, I think our focus, which as you mentioned, us being at Jaji's more than one night, doing multiple nights at one resident is kind of the new game changer that we're strategizing, because everybody, there's so much to do these days, and everybody can't make it on that specifically one date. So if you notice, you'll start seeing a lot of artists booking a residency, even if it's for a small run.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I noticed. Yeah.
So that's the strategy now. Instead of, you know, just hit and quit, stay for a couple of days and do that. So we've really been looking for that type of model. And like Bob said, get to meet the community, get to, you know, show our faces in that town for a couple of days, and then move on to the next venue.
I love it. So you guys are here Friday, March 22nd, and Saturday, March 23rd. You're going to be at Jazzy's, and the show starts at about 7:30 or so. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite, all that kind of stuff. I posted it up on my Facebook page, and and all our social media stuff.
Are we going to see you there? Are we going to see you there?
I'm going to do my level best. I'm going to do my level best, because, you know, I like seeing y'all. And I think the 23rd might work best for me. So we'll see what happens. Or maybe I'll come both nights. We'll see.
See, Bob, I don't know. We better be prepared, man. She got something in the works.
We'll see.
Bob's got something in the works, Bob. I don't know. You might have to play a little bit more maracas just for when she walks in.
I mean, it's nice that y'all are coming back. That's a nice. Did you enjoy yourselves the last time you were here?
I enjoyed myself, but I didn't get a chance to meet the community. I've always been.
It's hard to get in at night and to see people at night, because, you know, you get on stage, you get off stage.
I always wanted to know what New Haven was all about, you know, Connecticut, the whole works. And when I, you know, when we did make that appearance, I was like, play, and we got out of there, and I was like, dang, man, we gotta dial in. We gotta hook in. We gotta touch people, man. You know,
and that's the same thing that happened with Branford too. We were in and out. You know, we were in that day. We was out that evening. You know, so this time, like Bob said, man, we thought it would be good to hang out and let the people who've seen us on Friday give them a chance to, you know, do what we need to do and be there for a little bit.
Okay. So you're going to come in Friday during the day,
get
yourself situated, and then play that night, and then stay out all night, and then get up Saturday, chill out, eat some breakfast, go around.
Do it all over again. Do it all over again.
All right. Okay.
But we have great, you know, we have great music, like Olympic Soul. This on stage, we really touched ground when we hit the Cutting Room in New York and sold that venue out. It's really a testament on what we do as musicians and our story, where, you know, you have Olympics and you have soul music combined. And now you know, on stage, what we're bringing to Jazzy's, it's a show. It's not going to be Jazzy's Cabaret. It's going to be Jazzy's Coliseum. That's what we're bringing to Jazzy's.
Now, so, Ed, I know you have a CD for me, and I'm around tomorrow night if you're back at Harvest tomorrow. So
yes.
If you bring it, I'll come through, because I'm going to the theater on Thursday night.
Okay.
But so tell me about this new CD, because the last time you were here, I don't think it was finished, or you were working on it, or it hadn't launched yet, so so tell me what's on it.
Yeah, the CD was inspired to me by Bob. It's his debut as a musician. It's his introduction and presentation. And with us who do this all the time, it was something where I wanted to kind of connect the dots and tell the story between a period of the 70s and now. Mm-hmm. And what Olympic Soul is for me, not only just to have an Olympic champion on the record, but when you look at music in general, soul music is the champion of champions. So much music has been inspired through soul music. So many artists has been inspired through soul music. You never thought, sometimes you think music lasts forever, but that's not always the case. Look at the people who thought disco would last forever. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? Disco's not around?
If you still got platform shoes, Babs, and your big old sparkling thing and talking about, I wonder why. He's the greatest dancer. If you still doing that, you let us know where you going at, Babs.
Yeah. And if you do, you better wear them Friday or Saturday night.
And exactly.
I might not be able to rock the shoes, but I still love a good disco beat. Like, I still love a good disco beat.
Like, we still love it, but it's not in the forefront like it used to be.
No.
Whereas soul music just debuted at the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So you have to look at that in the terms of when it comes down to Olympic and what that term means. You know, for us, we wanted to bring that type of potential to the music, and Bob scored high on percussion, man. He really, really delivered, you know?
Yes. And so just for people to know, Robert Beamon is the American former track and field athlete. He is best known for his world record in the long jump at the Mexico City Olympics in 1968. And by jumping 8.9 meters, he broke the existing record by a margin of 55 centimeters. And his world record stood for almost 23 years. So,
well, you know, my Olympic record still stands.
It still stands?
As the oldest Olympic record in the history of the Olympics.
Wow. I like that story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good story. So do y'all consider yourselves, I don't know if I asked this before, do y'all feel like jazz musicians or do you feel like R&B musicians? Or do you feel like when people talk about you, how do they label you? Or do you just refuse labels?
I would say I just like the music. It's just good music. Listening, you know, it's good to the ear, you know. Relaxing.
We are the Bone Squad. We are brothers, outstanding, noble, and excellent. Brothers on in stage, outstanding musicians, outstanding fathers, outstanding husbands, noble in our character, and on top of being all of that, we are excellent. That's what we are. We are the Bone Squad.
But they're playing you on jazz stations.
Yes. And they're playing us on hip hop stuff too.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely.
I love that.
We have DJs because you got to understand, we're not in the lane where it was just about the traditional jazz where you had a lot of the swing. And we're not in a lane where it's just all the new contemporary jazz. Instrumental music was introduced to me through the DJs. When I heard a Bob James record sampled by a rapper, when I heard Dennis Coffey records sampled by a rapper, it was the DJs that implemented the breaks within their music. But their music is instrumental music. Now, whether you labeled on either side is up to the people who needs to put a label on it. But as creators, they created Apache by the incredible Bongo Band. It's an instrumental record.
Yes, is still hot.
Thank you. So you know what I'm saying? DJs play that all the time. And that's really where we came in to bridge the gap, as Ed would tell you, that we're being promoted as. Olympic Soul, the Soul series from the Bone Squad, is bridging the gap between hip hop and jazz. Because you have it for the jazz community, but we also have breaks in the music that the hip hop community enjoys.
Mm-hmm. So it makes me think about Herbie Hancock, because Herbie Hancock was like one of the first people to sort of be in the hip hop world and the jazz world with some of his music, right? Because
with Rocket, DJs,
all the people Rocket. Were like sampling Rocket, and it had a hip hop vibe to it, but it was. He's known to be a jazz artist.
Yes, exactly. And you got to change with the times with that. And we implement that again, providing those elements in the song. Whereas Bob is playing percussion, a lot of records sample the percussions in their music on the hip hop side.
I like it.
You know, Grandmaster Flash, like, you know, they use that. The first thing you hear in Rapper's Delight is what? That's Bob's job right there.
Yes. That's your job, Bob.
Yeah, man. It's a good job.
Got the hottest seat.
That's a good job, man. You know, I mean, how many people, there are not a lot of people in the world really could say that, you know, when they have a job, they truly, truly enjoy it. Laughing, talking, smiling, and all kinds of stuff. And I'm one that, you know, every minute that I'm playing, you know, as soon as we get off on this show, I'm going to be on the drums. I'm going to be smiling and enjoying, you know, trying to get some new stuff, some new beats, so that when I see you on the 23rd and the 24th, so you can get up and start doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can rock and roll. At the same time, you know, you can do a little bit of this and do a little bit of that.
Okay.
Tell her, Bob. Yes,
I'm,
right.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it, Bob. You sold me. So what were you going to say, Ed? Because I know you wanted to jump in.
Yeah. Just to follow up on Six's point, you know, music and jazz in particular is really a gumbo. It's a mix of so many things that have, you know, come and gone. You know, you can hear elements of, you know, certainly soul and hip hop and jazz. I mean, if you think of, you know, where Miles came from, I mean, there's a whole trail up from ragtime to bebop to, you know, big ragtime and big band and bebop. And, you know, it's followed the path, but it's also taken a lot of all those things and put them together. And that's a lot of what we're hearing today from people like Styx and Bob and other musicians. You know, not only just from samples, but, you know, there's DJs involved in jazz too, you know, and elements.
And
of hip-hop
DJs are hot. Like, DJs are their own celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, they are really, I mean, I always knew a good DJ is a good DJ, but DJs can, they have their own, you book a DJ the way you book a band. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is incredible to me.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, so as I was saying, music is really, and jazz in particular has really taken elements from so many different things, and it's constantly rebirthing itself, if you want to use that term, and regrowing itself and changing and so on, because, you know, our parents' jazz is not the jazz of today, and it's not going to be the jazz of tomorrow. I mean, there's certainly going to be pockets of those things still around. So it'll be straight ahead and, you know, bebop performances and smooth jazz performances. But going forward, you know, it's a whole different ballgame as it was in the past. I mean, like I said, if you look all the way in the back to what we are now, jazz has changed incredible.
Bab, yes. you mentioned that Herbie Hancock, you know, changed the story a little. He changed the story. And I turned on the YouTube and I saw Robert Glasper performing. And who pops up on the stage? And he was Herbie Hancock. He just wanted to get in there so that he could get a feel of that funk that was going on that stage. It was hot. It was hot. I mean, he just presented himself to Robert. Robert was like, come on, Herbie, hit it, hit it. I mean, and they was throwing down. And so, You know, that music is just so, as you were trying to describe to you, the transitions that have happened over the years. But each time that it makes the transition, it still has that funk. It still has.
So Sticks, do you feel like you are living the dream that you set out for yourself? I mean, do you feel like this is where you want to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I didn't dream it would be this great. Like, I didn't know it would be this great. It would be this tremendous, because one is when you create something and the impact it has on another person in a positive, push forward way. Music is something that helps you get through some tough times. Mm-hmm. And when I read that the groove like this was the album to listen to with a certain glass of wine, in Italy, not in the US, in Italy, that was a situation where it was like, wow. When you reach in people that you've never met and they're taking you home with them, and then the connections that you meet along the way, or the people that come to you who's already great in their own respect and say, hey man, I dig what you're doing. Couldn't even fathom. I just hope that it would happen and it's going that way. Absolutely.
Because you're a music teacher. I mean, you are a music professor.
Am I? No.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought you were.
No. I'm not a music teacher. I mean, you know,
you work with me, Sticks.
Yeah, I guess so.
You went to school and majored in all of that kind of stuff, man. You know, you can teach. You work with me. Come on now,
I think Bob is giving you some more resume. He's like,
yeah,
okay,
he's putting that on my resume. That's, and I gotta put professor. I can't put teacher.
Right.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to continue the legacy, and if it's not for people like you to sort of to teach the culture and the history of the music, I mean, how does it continue if no one is teaching it? You know.
Yeah, no, you're right. I am sharing what I've learned. I am learning and sharing with the brothers, but I'm also learning from Ed and Bob in their own respect. Ed has a great history on what it works on the end that's not on the creative side. So I'm learning that from him, right? But then I'm teaching those that's coming up behind me who sees what I do. And I'm like, well, you need an Ed Tankus to help you get through or push through what you need. You need a Bob Beeman. You know, and that's what I'm teaching as I'm learning with these brothers and going forth on top of the knowledge that I already know and learn as I express to them, as I express to Bob, and as I express to Ed in certain situations.
Mm. So tell me about who else is in the band, because I know there's other people other than you two in the band.
So we have our keyboard player, Maestro, whose government name is Denson Kerwin. We have Sean Taylor on trumpet. We have Al Brisbane on bass. And Al Brisbane is the real connection between us and Bob Beeman, because they are family. They are family. And Bob can express on that a little bit more, but that is the core five. The Bone Squad, we have Mel Smith on saxophone by way of Jacksonville, Florida. We have Steve Brown on guitar by way of Atlanta, Georgia. And that right there is the focal point of the seven of the Bone Squad.
And how did you find these people? How do you know them?
So I did a show for the mayor at, I believe we was at Lincoln, I want to say we was at Lincoln Center. And that's the first time Denson saw me play for the Harvard Gospel Choir. And when he saw me play drums for them, he was like, yo, this brother is somebody. He was just coming up. So I took his number down and, you know, he's been with me ever since that performance at Harvard. And it was a big, it was a big, big event. But yeah, I was playing for the Harvard Gospel Choir. Then I met through him and Sean went to school together. Me and Al Brisbane, we worked the New York City scene together with certain artists, Ashford and Simpson. He did gigs with Cuba Gooding, the late great Cuba Gooding of The Main Ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing bass with them. So me and him has been on the New York scene together. And when I told him what I was doing as far as recording, he jumped on board and said, "Brother, I will roll with you."
And because it takes a lot to put a band together. Like a band is like a marriage. Like you have to get the right temperament and the right people and the right energy and.
Yeah, you know. Babs, you know what's so interesting? You just made a great point. I think putting a band together, the band leader has to have a character. He has to have the character and good judgment and good eye, but he has to motivate the musicians to buy in to his creativity, but also allowing his band members to have their creativity too. So he's allowing everybody to be creative, and it takes more than just being a band leader. You have to have some kind of, I guess, spiritual something that will tell the rest of the band members that I'm buying in, Sticks, because I feel you, man. You know, I'm with you, man. And so it's more than just being a band leader, because you know I'm sure that we've had some great leaders, but maybe not having the spiritual, the good parts of human style that makes people want to come and want to give not 100% but 150% of their energy into being a part of a band. And you could elaborate on that, Sticks, because
yeah,
I know,
yeah, no,
because yeah, it's more no. Production, it's everything, man. It's
yes.
Yeah. I've called you, man, you know, after 12 o'clock at night, and you know, you in the studio, man, and I'm like, wow, man, get some sleep, man. No, I gotta, there's something I gotta do, you know, to change something, you know. And I say, yeah, well, that's part of the business.
Because yeah, I imagine it takes a lot of trust, Sticks, to have a band. Like, you're the band leader, they gotta trust that you will lead them somewhere.
So the thing for me is, and this is maybe hard to believe, is I never considered them or us to be a band. Oh. I consider us to be brothers. And am I my brother's keeper? Am I going to take care of my brothers the way I would like for my brothers to take care of me? You know what I'm saying? And then you have to make decisions as the one that they look to kind of drive the vehicle. I will put them before I put myself. Bob had to stop me a couple of times, like, yo, you got to look out for you too. Don't just look out for us. You know what I'm saying? But I never really considered the term band. I consider them brothers. And that's what it is for me.
Yeah, it's definitely very family-like. Babs, you know, in this group, we all have respect. I have personally deep respect for everybody in the band, and we're all close in one form or another. And some of that is, you know, yin and yang, give and take, and comes and goes. But I can tell you, whether it's, you know, said out loud or not, we're all there for each other.
We're there in good times and when they're difficult times.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I know the good time is going to be soon when you come back to New Haven and you play at Jazzy's again on March 23rd and 22nd and 23rd, Friday and Saturday. So I know it's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, yeah, it was. I have to give this credit to Ed, but I think the last time when you first met us, Babs, I guess we made such a good impression that it was like, yo, do 2 days. Because if it was terrible, I'm like, no, I think one more day is just good enough. You know what I'm saying? We don't need them for 2 days. But like, hey, I'm telling you,
hey, I can't
stress this.
But yeah, you said one day, man, maybe sometimes, man, you roll in some places, they say, well, no, don't come back.
We'll come back.
We'll call you.
I find that hard to believe y'all have that experience, but I bet you know people who have had that experience, but not y'all. That is good.
And I can't stress this enough, man. Jazzy's is not going to be a cabaret those nights. It's going to be a Coliseum. The show we're bringing is hardcore, and we want New Haven to enjoy it.
Now, are you bringing a vocalist? Because the last song that we just heard had, you know, had some vocals to it. Do you have a vocalist periodically, or it's just you and the guys?
Well, the guys can sing.
Oh, okay.
Bob would tell you he can sing. Don't believe him, but he'll tell you he can sing. But the guys in the band can sing. Trust and believe. And when they do sing, we're going to turn up. I'm telling you, we're going to turn that cabaret into a Coliseum. That's all I'm going to tell you. You got to be there to see it. You got to be there to believe it. But the guys can sing. Salute to Khadija, who is on the album. She is. She really did a favor for us to come in and sing Be Thankful. Because that record to me was something I wanted, again, a connection between the decades. Mm-hmm. And that record was, you know, thriving in Bob's years back in the day. And now to bring that back to today's time, that's one of those things. But to Khadija's credit, she background sang for groups like Salt and Pepper. She sung for Mary J. Blige. She sung for Jay-Z. So she did songs with Wyclef John, so she is no, you know, stranger to the game. And with her coming in as a feature for us, I'm totally grateful for that. Salute to the DJ.
Well, it's a beautiful song. I mean, the music that we have is nice. I can't wait to pick up the CD tomorrow so I can listen to more. And if you're on Spotify, I'll put you on my Spotify playlist.
That's what we make a Spotify, girl. Make a Spotify. You just said it. Yes, ma'am. Babs, I thank you for being on Spotify. A lot of people that are like, nah, I'm not touching that. Give me my CD and my 8-track and I'm good. But you, girl, said I'm on Spotify.
Well, I put it in my car because, you know, I don't like to listen to regular radio, although I'm on regular radio, but I like to listen to all kinds of music. And these streaming places, they let you curate all kinds of music and they'll curate music. So I like it because I get to hear artists that I would not ordinarily find or hear without some curation. So it's really nice. So I'll put you in and then you and music like you will come up. And I like that.
And that's what Ed was really pushing towards, to me. Was saying that, you know, when you get on these other streaming platforms, it's really a whole new window from when he was doing Blue Plate Radio.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I'm looking forward to having y'all back in my city. Ed, I'm gonna send you some emails of some folks that, because I think if you could coordinate some time at some of the neighborhood music school or co-op or somewhere, that I think it would be worth their while to like have a conversation with some of the students about, because New Haven is musician rich.
Yep.
Very, very musician rich. And lots of spaces for musicians and people who study music. So New Haven is very rich like that. And I just don't want you to like come and not have some opportunity to like, you know, see kids and see students who are trying to do what you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Who are trying to do what you're doing. In real time. So,
and Bob has a very interesting story. Like he started out to go this route years ago and now he's just walking into it. So the question is, do you give up, or because you had to make a life choice decision to go another direction, or is it time for you to come back to it in life, later in life?
I love that's story, a good story, Sticks. That's a good story, Bob Beeman. Because a lot of people don't get that opportunity to like come back to something else that they loved, but they let it go for something else that they love, right? Because I'm sure you love being an athlete too.
Well, I love, you know, I started playing with some of the major dance schools in New York, and played with some great musicians that that actually played with some big names who became number one in their fields. And I had to leave, unfortunately, to get into sports. However, I'm not complaining that I did pretty good at what I, went into, but the idea of sitting down and coming to my next lifestyle and say, I'm gonna go back to it. But you gotta have people like Styx that would say, yeah, Bob, are you serious? If you're serious, come on and jam with us a little bit. Let's see what you can do. And that's what I like about my comeback, is that Styx had more than just, well, we'll think about it. He said, come on, man, let's move on this here. And I would say within 6 months, man, I was back in the game.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear y'all March 22nd and the 23rd. It's a Friday and Saturday. I'll make sure I spread the word far and wide so that the cabaret becomes a coliseum, and and y'all have a good time. So
don't
thanks,
forget, don't forget your platform now.
Listen, thanks, Ed Tankus, for coordinating this. It's always good to see you, Styx Bones. It's always good to see you, Bob Beeman. Thank you all so much.
Okay. Thank you, Babs.
All right.
Thank you so much,
all right. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see y'all late March. A couple of weeks.